Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving MAGA patriots. Welcome to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you. Good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Wiffle Bat Wednesday.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
And got Wiffle Bats lined up here, and they're just in...
Yes, we sure do. They're in need of it. Oh, boy. No kidding. Man. And with some weird twists on stuff, too, because we have never... ever been supporters of this whole Q thing or any,
right.
You know,
yeah.
it's right up there with the Nacera stuff, you know. And so it's just weird that they seem to think that there's a date coming up that September 24th. And even the German,
Ministry of Parliament, he said
it's going to that September 24th is going to be a day that everyone will remember where they were standing when it happened.
Right, like 9/11.
Yeah.
Like September of 2001, he said.
Yes. And so what on earth does that mean, right?
Right.
Well, in fact, adding to this bizarre buildup, I've got this information here about Pope Francis orders all Vatican-affiliated entities and church orders to transfer all funds and assets to the Vatican Bank by September 30th. And institutions connected with the Holy See that are holders of financial assets and liquidity in whatever form they are held. And so,
right.
Wow, what on earth? What do they suspect is going to be happening the end of September?
Right.
Right? I mean, we're looking at the Feast of Trumpets as a possible rapture event.
It is a Jewish feast that is one of the Lord's feasts, and all of the spring feasts were fulfilled on the exact feast days, like when Christ was...
Passover.
Yeah, right. Passover, when he was... crucified, when he rose from the dead.
First fruits, yeah.
Yeah,
Feast of First Fruits. Yep.
And then, of course, there's Pentecost. And so, anyway, those four spring feasts have all been fulfilled and on the day by Christ.
Yep.
So, you know, the biblical scholars and pastors and people that have, you know, dug deep. I mean, if the Lord did not fulfill the take major action, if the rapture wasn't on the Feast of Trumpets on one some year, it would take place on the Feast of Trumpets. Otherwise, it would break from everything that we've seen him do.
Right. It would break from the pattern, the biblical pattern of a shadow of things to come.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to say.
And, And so in fact, that would have to be the fulfillment
right
on that feast in particular, because of what it symbolizes. It symbolizes the wedding,
right?
And so there's nothing else that Christ could really do on that day that is wedding oriented. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so there's
and it comes every year, and it could happen any year.
That's right.
And so this year, it's coming again, and so we're really excited about that. And
especially since this year is also a Shemitah year.
Yeah.
And typically, biblical events, the major events, tend to happen on Shemitah years as well.
Yeah, the seven-year cycles.
Yep.
Right. And he is a God of, I mean, you can see patterns and foreshadowings all through prophecy.
Right.
And their fulfillment and major ways that the Lord has worked with his people and interacts. So
which is why he deliberately says, you can tell when fall's coming.
Right.
You know for a fact fall is on the way because of the signs,
yes.
Right? And he says same is true for that. You will know you know, no one knows the day or the hour, but here's all of the signs to be looking for. So be looking up.
Yep.
Right. And so otherwise he wouldn't have been so deliberate in saying that if it wasn't supposed to be fairly obvious. I mean, if you can tell fall is coming by the obvious signs,
right?
That was his comparison.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny too, because, you know, the Bible says, well, Christ said in the Bible that you won't know the day or the hour, you know, when this is going to happen. But isn't it also interesting that on the Feast of Trumpets, it can take place any time over a little over a 2-day period when the new moon shows. And so that is known as the feast that you will not know the day or the hour
that's
when
right.
it begins.
That's always been the theme of right. that feast.
And that went right over the heads of so many people.
Yep.
But, you know, he tells us, and not the day or the hour, but I mean, look, he told his followers, his disciples, the Son of Man is going to be delivered, crucified, killed, raised from the dead. And they're all standing there staring at him while he's telling him this. And then when he actually died, they're all weeping because, well, he was the guy that was going to save us from Rome, and now he's dead.
Well, and Peter tried to prevent it from happening.
Right, right. And so, but the point is, even when he told them, look, this is what's going to happen, they still missed it. It went right over their heads when it happened right before their eyes. Yep. After he told them, they still missed it. They didn't get it until he rose from the dead. And then they went, oh, light bulb, you know, palm to the forehead moment.
That's right. Well, and it's kind of funny, God's character, in that he kind of is always astounded at his disciples. You guys still don't get it?
You still don't get it.
You still, really? You've been here this long with me and you still don't get it? You
know? Right.
He makes so many statements like that. So, you know, I mean, his sense of humor as well as his enduring patience is pretty, has to be, you know, pretty top-notch.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'll tell you what, let's do the word of the day since we're talking about that stuff now. And we've got definitely some things to whiffle bat.
Oh boy, do we ever.
DHS is saying radicalized Americans who believe false narratives online are the new terror threat. Of course, you know, they get to decide what is a false narrative.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Well, the liars, you know, the liars are the ones. Yes. That was the biggest laugh of all. You know, they're setting up the standards to be the ones that incriminate themselves.
Right.
You know, I mean, right. that's the hilarious part.
If you're going to take their words, I mean, you know, literally, then they are the ones that are actually guilty of what they're trying to frame up, what an extremist or a terrorist is.
Right. Because if you were going to even dig a little deeper on a philosophical level, you could ask them, do you even really know what truth is? Could we just define truth as like something obvious, like male and female?
Oh, no. Can't do that.
Right?
That's racist.
Yes.
Or something.
Or math. How about 2 + 2? That right. The truth of that would have to be 4, right? No, you know, they can't even figure out what truth is. How are they going to set the standard?
That is so
you know,
hateful.
That's hilarious.
That's just so hateful. 2 + 2 = 4. Oh, I can't stand the hate.
Oh, gosh.
This is supposed to be a Christian station. Right. All right. So let's do the word of the day.
Let's do it. Okay, so the word of the day for Wifflebat Wednesday comes to us from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, which read, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, that they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. And that's
it. Wow, that's a long one, but that's a great one.
It's so important. That is a very, very important bit of scripture, because this really kind of points out what we are called to be.
Yes.
And that we're not living under grace, and so therefore we don't have to keep the law. We don't have to follow any of his laws or have any kind of this high standard, and we don't have to live holy. That's nothing could be further from the truth. That right there says that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And so how on earth would we ever be a royal priesthood or a holy nation without having very, very strict standards on our conduct?
And what was the scripture again?
Okay, so this was 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 12.
New Testament.
New Testament.
This is not Old Testament stuff. He's not talking to the Israelites.
That's right. Here.
And he's talking to, well, I mean, there's Jews he's speaking to, but I mean, this is a message to the church, to Christians.
Right.
Yeah.
We are being built up a spiritual house. We are that spiritual house, a holy priesthood, a holy priesthood. And so is our conduct becoming of a holy priesthood?
Right.
You know, oof, yikes. That almost is scary to me, because I don't know that my conduct is qualifying under a holy priesthood description. You know what I mean?
Right.
Are our lives matching of a holy priesthood? Gosh, that is a serious question to be asking
ourselves.
Well,
I think if we're all honest in our answers, we'd realize that we are not worthy to even be called that.
No kidding.
And it's only by his grace that we are.
Right.
Really. And, you know, we can't earn that, but we can also strive, do what he said, and strive to live holy and righteous lives.
Right.
You know, to love him by following his commands. And we'll never be. The only thing, like we were saying earlier, you know, there's nothing good in me except Christ.
That's right.
You know, and I can't take credit for anything. But you can definitely take credit for willful disobedience.
Right.
And it's almost like a mockery of the blood that he shed for us when you don't even try to live a holy life.
That's right.
You're going to fall down. You're going to make mistakes. But when you just go, meh, I'm covered by his blood, and you just live however you want, and your life's not reflecting, you know, the work that he's supposed to be doing in you, that's pretty serious. This is a great scripture. It's a sobering one.
It is. And that, gosh, I mean, it really does. It just almost like nails you right between the eyes.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, right. Okay, so yeah. Am I qualifying? Is my life qualifying me as living like a holy priesthood?
Right. Am I abusing the grace thing?
Right. Exactly.
You know? Right. So good
yes.
one.
Yes. Yeah. Oh boy. Well, praise God for
let's,
that.
Let's go ahead and let's take a break. We got wiffle bats out, and we'll get those back off the rack. And
yes, while we're wiffling ourselves, wiffle bat, wiffle bat for us as well. You know,
yes.
I mean, in the Lord's eyes, honesty and repentance is a daily thing here.
Yeah, for sure. We'll put that scripture out again.
Okay, so one last time, that is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 12.
Oh, thank you. We got that. And now, did you want to play the audio clip that we have of Biden screaming and yelling about ever?
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
It's
hilarious.
Yeah. So I put this little audio meme together for that. They're grinding out the propaganda for climate change, and... oh yeah, I couldn't help it. This is just that was a good find. But listen to this individual try to sell us on climate change and how hard he's going to work more than anybody ever has.
That's right.
I want to take the most aggressive action ever, ever, ever to confront the climate crisis and increase our energy security ever in the whole world. And that's not hyperbole, that's a fact.
Climate change. Climate change. Climate change. Climate change. Climate change.
And that concludes your public service announcement from the World Economic Forum. Have a nice day.
That's right.
All right.
Well, and the only thing that is, anything that you hear associated with climate, just associate it with cash flow.
Oh,
because
man.
That's all it means is filling up their pockets with tons and tons of cash.
And the biggest power grab since COVID, which is the biggest power grab since, well, I don't know, Alexander the Great?
Yeah, right. Seriously. Yep.
Wow.
No,
all right.
Kidding.
Well, let's go ahead and take a break here real quick. The segment brought to you by Prepping 2.0, helping you to take your preps to the next level before September 24th, the day you'll not ever forget where you were that day, whatever that means. I don't know. But anyway, there definitely is hardship. The Dow Jones tanked yesterday. We're officially in a recession now. They can't even lie about it now. So very challenging times. And so we want to get prepared. We want to make sure that we can feed our families, that we can take care of them and those that we love and ourselves. So learn how to do that. Prepping2-0.com is the website. And this is Radio Free Redoubt, the morning commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. We'll be back right after these messages. Coleman Underground, God is Great.
Yes, the communists have plans for you. As soon as they're in power, they will arrest many of you, seize your property.
And so when you are not with where majority of Americans are, then, you know, that is extreme. That is an extreme way of thinking.
The rest of you will be regimented, and some of you forced into slave labor.
And so when you are not with where majority of Americans are, then, you know, that is extreme. That is an extreme way of thinking.
One more step towards their main goal, which is America and you.
Abe Lincoln here. In 1773, patriots broke the chains of British tyranny by throwing tea into Boston Harbor. On that day, Americans began drinking coffee. We celebrate that event daily here at Minutemen Coffee. All men are created equal. Coffee is not. Minutemen Coffee is roasted to perfection in small batches. Bold, smooth, and never bitter. Shipped to you fresh daily. Whole bean, ground, or our patented pods. www.minutemencoffee.com.
Good morning, Patriots, and welcome back. This is the second segment of the morning commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Time flies when you're having fun and swinging wiffle bats, but good morning, everybody, and good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Wiffle Bat Wednesday. That's right. You know, we didn't do any cowbell either. So
we didn't.
We'll probably
could have used more cowbell on that,
yeah,
that last one. Entering into the show. Hey, you know, I've got some good news, though. This is always, you know, negative stuff. I mean, the world's losing its mind. It's kind of hard, you know, but you got to point it out when you can find it. The Navy now is rescinding its punishment that it was planning for the Navy SEALs that were seeking a religious exemption for the COVID vaccines.
Oh, wow.
So they're backing off. So there's a victory there.
That's, it's about time, you know. I mean,
it's way overdue. Yeah.
Geez.
Now they need to take it a step further and start prosecuting those people that were threatening the Navy SEALs with their careers.
That's right.
You know,
and that's actually the good thing that we're seeing starting to happen too, is that now the lawsuits are coming out. And so this is how it works. The evil does what they do, and then everybody gets wise to what they've done, and then the fangs come out and they go after them.
Right.
And they get indicted, they get sent to jail, you know, all of these things.
You know, those of us who have served in the military, you understand. I mean, it's like going through a gauntlet with needles. I mean, all the shots that they give you when you're in the military. But these are tested over a long period of time, and they're FDA approved. This COVID scam is not FDA approved. It's causing way more harm. It's worse than the disease that they're trying to prevent with it. And we got young, healthy people falling on their faces dead.
That's right.
By the hundreds, and now by the thousands, and people, cancer rates, infertility rates, it's off the charts. So anybody who's trying to coerce someone else to take this experimental drug,
death and maiming shot,
should be prosecuted.
Yep.
For aggravated battery, at least.
That's right.
So
anyway. I'm just glad to see the tables finally starting to turn and the lawsuits starting to come out.
Yep.
And so, gosh, all these people that have lost people that have died.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, how do you ever get paid back for that? You don't. You've lost a loved one,
right,
or multiple loved ones. Maybe you're next. You know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe you're on the downhill slope of this vaccine, and you're, you know, fading fast.
Well,
I mean, you can't get it back.
And not just the vaccine, but the COVID itself, where people have died because of mistreatment, because they withheld or refused to allow treatments that are proven effective.
That's right.
We personally know people that have died. They would not give them ivermectin. They shove the ventilator down their throat.
The remdesivir treatment.
Yep, until they're dead.
Yep.
And, you know, so there's two different fronts there. You got the vaccine, and then you've got the mistreatment of all these COVID patients. And it's infuriating.
That's right. Well, and that's like I said, I'm just glad to see it. I'm glad to see that we're on the flip side now, where the people are going to, they're not tolerating it. And now here comes the spanking for all of the evil that has been done.
Let's hope.
Yep. And so I've got a clip here speaking wiffle batting here. We've got a clip here from Senator Josh Hawley, who is describing in his questioning of Twitter's former security chief, whose name is Peter Zatko, and he is testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee on data security at Twitter, and he's saying that the platform's leadership is misleading the public, lawmakers, regulators, and even its own board of directors. And also he was saying that Twitter was notified at least one Chinese spy was on the company's payroll.
Right.
And so Senator Hawley is questioning him, and he's more or less a whistleblower. And so thank goodness for that. But he's saying 4,000 Twitter employees can access personal user data and could potentially dox individuals. Listen to this clip.
Got it. And that means that these 4,000-ish employees would have had access to live user data all over Twitter. They could access individual users' personal information, including their live data. Have I got that right?
Yes, sir. If they so they would have access to the production environment. If they spent the time to meander around and look around, they would find that they could access these large troves of data,
including geolocation data. Did you testify to that earlier today?
I know that Twitter has IP locations and that they do use geolocation services based upon IP addresses.
Wow, 4,000 employees with access to that data. That's extraordinary. So those employees would be in a position then, if they wanted to get this information and dox Twitter users. Is that fair to say?
That is a concern of mine, sir. Yes.
Wow. That's a significant concern. 4,000 people with the ability to dox individual users who pick up the phone and use Twitter.
So that is kind of stunning, to say the least.
Yeah.
As well as the fact that they had one of Chinese top intelligence agencies spies,
yes,
as one of their paid employees.
That's
in
just
Twitter.
The one they know about.
Right. And you know, you add that to what is coming out in the lawsuit between Twitter,
yes,
and Elon Musk,
right.
And he's showing that 80% of their accounts were fake, so probably
right.
Chinese hacker bandits, and they're using them to shape social and public opinion in America,
right.
And as well as curtailing, well, correct procedures for elections in America.
It is a battlefield.
Yeah, the whole 2020 election. Twitter had a huge amount of influence on the 2020
right.
election.
Facebook, all these social media platforms. You know, you and I both follow Amir Sarfati, and, you know, he's super squared away, solid Christian, and just on top of it. But, you know, he just put out a message on his Telegram channel within the last couple of days. Hey, guys, since Facebook won't let me live stream my content, you know, please tell your friends to come to Telegram. I'm thinking, why are you even on Facebook?
I know.
At all.
Exactly.
Facebook, Twitter. I mean, I could see having an account so you're tracking information. Like Twitter is a really good open source intelligence resource for tracking events as, you know, they're unfolding. You know, if you got riots going on, it's being covered, you know, pretty in depth. But I would use it as an intelligence tool, not for communicating with others or trying to convey information or do anything politically active at all on those platforms.
Right.
Especially the doxing. They've got so many left-leaning, communist, Marxist, Antifa types and Black Lives Matter types that work for Twitter. I mean, this is like a gold mine for them for doxing conservative Christian patriots. You know, have Molotov cocktails going through the front windows of people's homes.
That's right. I mean, that's being on any of those platforms is basically like trying to aid your enemy. I mean, you literally are aiding your enemy by having anything to do with them at all.
Right. The violence that's coming, like during the tribulation, is going to be so off the charts that this is going to empower that type of violence against people. They're going to be able to come to your front door, and we're giving them the information to do that. But another one too, this one, Department of Homeland Security says that radicalized Americans who believe false narratives online are the new terror threat. So post 9/11, Mayorkas, he said, now we're seeing, you know, the anniversary of the attacks, the enemy was the individual. He says, but now we're seeing an emerging threat over the last several years of the domestic violent extremist. So they keep pounding that narrative.
Well, he's talking about Article 4, Section 4, so they better watch out.
All right, we're out of time. Guys, you have a blessed day, and join us tomorrow morning, 7 a.m.
That's right. You all have a wonderful Wifflebat Wednesday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.